everyone, and welcome to the Dribble Podcast. My name is Craig O'Donoghue from West Australian Newspaper, and throughout this summer, I'm bringing you all the news and interviews from everything to do with basketball in WA. And geez, isn't there a bit happening with the Perth Wildcats? It's a third loss in a row, which has seen them fall to 2-4. They're in eighth place on the ladder. Bryce Cotton's scoring has dried up, and fans are angry again. There's a bit of deja vu about all of this as they prepare to face the Brisbane Bullets on Friday night. It's been some tough couple of seasons now for the Wildcats fans, and they're agitated at the moment. They were agitated a bit last year when they lost Mitch Norton and Todd Blanchfield. And in this episode, we will hear from Todd Blanchfield and Mitch Norton about their departures from the Wildcats last season. This episode will be actually uploaded in two parts because I'm also speaking to former Wildcats coach Scott Morrison, who is returning to the NBA as part of the Utah Jazz's coaching program for the first time since leaving the Wildcats. Time differences between Australia and America mean that won't be uploaded at our usual time, so we'll upload the Norton and Blanchfield one first. And we'll speak to Scott shortly afterwards, and he'll be up in a second podcast after that one. But if we go to Mitch Norton and Todd Blanchfield, they were both axed whilst under contract last season, and it was the closest thing to a sporting divorce that you could see. It was emotional. Both men were much loved figures around the club. It was financial. Like any divorce, there's a payout involved, and the Wildcats are still paying them 50% of the money they are owed for this season. For the Wildcats, it was a business decision. But sport is deeply personal too, and I've spoken to Mitch and Todd on the Dribble about the challenges they faced moving their lives interstate when they'd planned everything around being in WA long term. These interviews were conducted in Queensland during the NBL Blitz.
Kicks into the corner, Norton firing, filling it up, he scored the first pop.
Norton, bump, count it.
That is absolutely epic from Mitch Norton.
So, Mitch, thanks for joining us. How are you? What's it been like moving yourself across the country?
Yeah, I'm good. Back in Queensland, obviously, I've got a lot of family and friends in Brisbane. It's still a two-hour flight from Townsville, where I'm originally from, but it allows mum, dad, and my younger brother probably a bit more opportunity to come down and see me, and that's probably what I'm most excited for. Along with, you know, the challenges on floor as well. And yeah, right now I'm in a really good space. Body's good, playing some good basketball and back in Queensland.
So how did you make a decision around where to play? Because you would have been targeted by a lot of clubs, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely had a few clubs, you know, show interest, which is always nice. It's good to feel loved and appreciated for what you do out there on the floor. So for me, I just wanted somewhere that had a clear role for me. And you know, Justin kind of expressed that from day one. He wasn't penciling guys in to starters or bench. It was come in the preseason and show what you got. And we really connected through phone calls and shared views of how the game should be played and the appreciation for the defensive end. And that's something that I do love and respect, and I think can win games. So I think connecting on that level through a lot of phone calls kind of made the decision quite easy for me.
So the clear role, clearly last year your role disappeared within the Wildcats, and the role, knowing where you were going to play and how you're going to be used, Chase, as well. So was that the most important thing for you, that you needed to be able to feel settled in your mind about you were going to be going somewhere where you were going to be played?
Yeah, it's tough not to know, you know, day in, day out, what your role or responsibility is. You know, I think to any player, the clear mind you have with knowing what you can do and or, you know, what you've wanted or expected from you, just like in any job in around the world. If you have guidelines and, you know, you want to be the best person in that role, whether that be a journo, a basketball player, whatever it is, you know, you're able to go and do it. And I think, coming to Brisbane allowed, you know, a clean slate, fresh start, and it's something that I'm really thriving on.
You've now gone Trevor Gleeson into Scott Morrison, into John Hurley, and now you're in Brisbane with another coach as well. Like, it's not simple to have to constantly change a coach. I would have thought, how challenging has that been to constantly be saying, hey, what do you want me to do?
To be honest, I thought it'd be difficult, but this recent change has been, you know, quite easy to slot in. It's all about the defensive end for Justin, so he shares, you know, similar views with Trev, I guess, in that aspect. You know, he applied his trade under, you know, Dean Vickerman, who's, you know, very similar, gets after the referees and things like that, whereas I think Justin's a little more calm, cool and collected in that area. and leaves it to the players out on the floor. So for me, you know, I think that's what I appreciate over the journey of my career is picking up little things from each and every coach I've had along the way. And, you know, every person that I've had as a head coach has taught me something. So it's good to learn from that.
What about from a contractual point of view? As I said, you've had all those changes of coaches. You were signing, believing one person was going to be the coach, then it constantly changed. I'd imagine that would have been really challenging when you're trying to work out your role. As we mentioned before, you want to know what you're going to do, and every coach has a different opinion, which is different from what it was when you signed.
Yeah, that's always tricky. You know, when you sign under, you know, I signed under Trev for 3 years, and then off he went to the NBA, and, you know, Scott came in, and yeah, so it is different. Obviously, coaches, I guess, inherit a roster sometimes, and you know, sometimes it's just not for you. And, you know, the honesty is a big part of it. And I think, you know, I eventually got it in the end, which is nice. But, yeah, it would have been good to have that from the start, I think.
So the honesty side of things, it's hard to be really honest with a player, I reckon, as a coach, when you're worrying about destroying their confidence or destroying the team morale at times. When did you feel that you were in strife at the Wildcats from an on-court perspective from your minutes, and when did it become reality that you knew that it was definitely a case?
I think, you know, the thing about me is my daily approach doesn't change. So whether I was starting, whether I wasn't starting, my daily habits never wavered. So I knew I'd get an opportunity at some stage, and once I did, you know, I thought I ran with it. So I think just communication is a big factor, I think, in any line of sport, any line of work. So I think as long as there's communication at a high level, you know, that there's no reason to be, you know, upset or disappointed or anything like that. You know exactly where you stand, and I think that's when, again, role clarity is so important.
You and John really have known each other for most of your basketball life, as a reality. Like, was it challenging from a relationship perspective to know that you two were going down different paths and he had to be the one to change that path for you?
I think so. You know, for me, it was just, you know, he was my coach. I was a player. You know, I don't think it had to go down probably the way it did with the, you know, tough conversations had and all that stuff. You know, it was just, it's business at the end of the day. Everyone goes through it. Unfortunately, it unfolded the way it did, which, you know, wasn't very pretty. But at the end of the day, it's sport and it happens all around the world. So, I still get to play the game I love, and I'm very thankful for that. And, you know, it's a stepping stone that I can use for, you know, my career down the track as well. So, yeah, it's lots of learnings to be had from that.
So you still, but doesn't matter what job you have, everyone wants to be secure. How emotionally difficult was it to be in that situation, wondering where will I work next year? Where will I work in a few weeks' time? Where will my wife, or my fiance, I should say, is not married yet. Where will my fiance be working? How tough was that part of it?
It was really tricky, considering I did have a contract. Like, you know, we're not allowed to go and talk to other teams because I am contracted. So, and then you're hearing, you know, through the media that things aren't looking good. It's a very tricky time. Personally, I felt like I dealt with it really well, but, you know, it's bringing your family into it. You know, people at Sasha's work are saying, hey, like, are you going to have to move? Like, what's happening? And that's the frustrating part when it does get leaked out, or you find out through the media. That is frustrating. And I mean, there's nothing that we could do from our end to help that. But yeah, I think it is challenging, and we are people at the end of the day with families and things like that. So, you know, Earth will always be a very, very special place for me and my family. We've created a lot of friends that we'll have forever, and love the city of Perth and what they've been able to do for us. So, yeah, I'm very thankful.
What does Sasha do, and what does she do now?
Yeah, so she's, as we're doing this podcast at the Blitz, she's on day two of her trip across the country. So the car is backed up, and she's driving with our dog and her brother-in-law. So, yeah, obviously I had to come here the 10th of July for pre-season, so to get started. We still don't have a house to rent at the moment. We've been unsuccessful on a couple of applications, and because we do have a dog. So I think, although in Queensland they're not allowed to say no because of the dog, they say no anyway. So it is challenging. It's a tough market to get into. Oh, we do have a house in Perth that we're probably looking to rent out or sell, but yeah, it's a challenging time to try and get up pack up where you've been for 5 years and ship it across the country. It is difficult, but it's a part of sport, and we are blessed to play the game we love. These are just the downsides to it.
When did you buy that house?
2018. So it was the week of our grand final against Melbourne United, which we won. So, yeah.
So, and you said now you've got to find somewhere to live, and you've got to find a way to utilise that house from a renting perspective. Have you worked through the renting side of things at the moment, or is that still find something for yourself here first, get her here first, and then work out the birth home later?
It's kind of we're doing both at the same time at the moment. Now that all the furniture has been removed and on its way to Brisbane, we can get some cleaners in and get the rental inspections happening, and in there we're able to decide a tenant.
Where are you living if you don't have a rental property?
So I've got Lyndon Briefies is his name. He played for the Bullets many, many years ago. He was assistant coach in Townsville with Trev. Him and Trevor are really close. And his wife is my mum's cousin. So they're staying with some family at the moment, which is good. They've been fantastic. You know, like I said, they are family. So they've been unbelievable to me. Cheap rent. Get home, cook meals. I'm not complaining, so I'm going to try and stretch that out as long as I can.
And has Sasha got a job here locked away already, or is she coming in and looking to find one when she gets here?
Yeah, so she's got a transfer, which is good. It helps when she works for a national bank. It's all over the country, so they've been unbelievable to her. She's made her way up the ranks in what she does. So, the people in Perth were very sad to see her go. But the people in Brisbane are excited to get her here. So from that standpoint, I'm very lucky that she does. You know, she's just as driven as what I am in her career. So, she's always said, while you're playing, she's happy to move wherever I'm going. But once I'm done, it'll be on her terms. So I look forward to that day.
You've moved from Townsville to Illawarra to Perth and now to Brisbane. Has this been the most difficult one given your age now and where you are with life, as opposed to being the young buck who's just happy to move around and have no commitments whatsoever?
Yeah, it is tough. You know, when I first signed in Perth, I thought that would be where I'd play out my career. Having some really close friends do it, like Damo, Greg, Tommy Jervis, kind of finished up there as well, and seeing what Wags has done, I always hoped that I could be that as well, but unfortunately it didn't pan out that way. And like you said, yeah, you kind of set up things for hopefully life after basketball, and it didn't pan out that way. But like I said, I've got a lot of close friends, a lot of connections with sponsors and things like that in Perth that I'm still very close with today. And I can't thank them enough.
What do you think the reaction will be for the Red Army when you're wandering to RSC Arena? Do you think they'll be on your side given the way it finished up? Or does it matter whether you left on the right terms or not? You're a Brisbane player now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see. Obviously, I can't thank them enough. I enjoyed playing there as a visitor, but I loved it even more playing there as a Wildcat. So it's going to be really weird to walk back in there in a different uniform. Gives me goosebumps at the moment. But whatever it is, you know, I know they're going to try and cheer on the Wildcats for a victory, and that. The second best sixth man in the league now, after the Bullets. But no, it's going to be a really weird moment for me for sure.
So there's Mitch Norton, and I am pleased to say that Mitch has now found a place to live, which is fantastic for him and his family. He, his fiance, and his dog are extremely happy in their new digs in Brisbane. So we look forward to seeing him playing against the Wildcats on Friday night. It'll be interesting to see how you fans react to him. Will it be love or will it be loathe? Will it be a little bit of drama? Will it be a little bit of fun? We'll have to wait and see. Now, when you look at Mitch, he was in one situation with, as I said, a fiance and a dog having to move to Brisbane. But that's different when you're moving your pregnant wife and two dogs interstate. And that was Todd Blanchfield's life as he headed to Illawarra. I was in a really unique position that Todd lived just a few streets away from me and was often walking his dogs at the park across the road. And it's fair to say it was obvious that those conversations weren't as casual the longer the season went, as it became obvious that they had to move. I sat down with Todd, like Mitch, at the NBL Blitz in Queensland.
Blanchfield buries that three. Norton to inbound. Blanchfield from the corner. Swings to Blanchfield. Got it.
The top Blanchfield. Speaking of knocking down shots.
You've moved around a lot in your career. How's this move going?
Yeah, this move, I mean, as you said, moved around a lot in my career, moved with a few different teams, but I guess this one was a little different. You know, we've got two dogs now. Wife was, she's pregnant. And yeah, just sort of adds that little bit of extra, the difficulty of degree, I suppose, in the way of packing a house. And it was good to be able to be there for this one. The last time we were stuck in Tasmania and our lease was running out and she had to pack the house by herself. So a little different, but yeah, move's been good. It was down the drive for the fourth time across the country. So the move's gone well.
The stresses of moving as an athlete would never be simple, but when you've got a pregnant partner, it must make it even harder.
Yeah, it definitely adds a whole different element to it. And obviously she's limited at what she can and can't do. And yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, like anything at the moment, there's a lot of different things that come into it in the way of you've got to organise, get your furniture sent across the country. You've got to organise storage sheds. You've got to organise apartments, houses, whatever it might be. And with two dogs, not the easiest thing in the world. You know, there's 20 people applying for a house and you're the only one applying with a dog. It's a good chance you're probably not going to get it. So, yeah, I mean, the Hawks have been great in that aspect. Really helped me take care of that sort of stuff. And it was a massive help.
So Jess is due December, you were saying?
5th, yep. Due December 5th.
So when you look at just basic dates of how your departure from the Wildcats occurred, April 14 was when you were officially announced as leaving. So you would have known at that point that she was pregnant. How difficult were those conversations, knowing that you got this on the horizon, first child, and you've got to work out where your career is going to head next?
Yeah, it was a lot of decisions, I suppose, plus, you know, packing the house and organising a whole bunch of stuff on top of that. And we just had to sort of just write everything down and just work through it one thing at a time. And I'm just thankful that she's, I guess, the person she is and stayed strong through the whole thing and was able to still lead from the front and got everything organised and did what she does best. And it all came together really well. And yeah, I was super thankful for it.
How do you reflect on the way it all happened in Perth? Because it looked messy from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the first one I know that professional sport, how it all works. Like, I've been around it. This is my 15th year in the league. I've sort of seen a bit of everything. So you know exactly how it works. It's very cutthroat. And I think that's the way it's everyone's there to win. And if that's what you think, then that's what you think, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, is it? Well, were relationships damaged with the way it occurred? Would you have liked to have known earlier? Was there anything that should have been done differently from a club to athlete perspective?
Oh, I mean, I'm all for, you know, open communication lines, and just if that's how it is, that's how it is. I feel like that, and just in life in general, it's just a better approach than sort of going quiet or anything like that. And I think, yeah, communication, I think, is a big thing. And yeah, there was, I guess, patches where it was, went weeks without hearing anything. And it was kind of when it is kind of hard to go about your day to day when you don't really know what, do I start packing the house? There's a lot of things that come into it and from that aspect. And yeah, I think just like open communication lines are something that, for me, it's, as I said, it's in life in general. I think it just makes it easier. But on top of that, you know, it's when it's to do with, I guess, your whole livelihood of your, not only yourself, but your family. And I guess your pregnant wife at the time, it's something that, yeah, I don't know if it could happen sooner, couldn't happen sooner. I don't know what was going on, what sort of happening behind the scenes. But yeah, that was a bit of a stressful time, I suppose.
Did it help having Mitch in the same position, or did it make it harder that you two were both looking at each other going, what's next?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I've known Mitch since I was 11 years old, I reckon, or something, for a very long time either way. And yeah, we speak on a lot anyway, but even more so, excuse me, in this time where just kind of it almost just felt like you're in the dark in a way as to what was going on. And I understand there was a lot of things that had to go on if they wanted to release us and whatever it might be. There's a lot of steps that needed to be, a lot of boxes that needed to be ticked along the way. I get that. Well, I understand that fully. But yeah, it was kind of in the time, it's like, oh, what's sort of happening? Like, I wonder what's happening. Sure, we might hear something today. We might not hear something today. And yeah, always, and it, I guess having someone else in the same position, it was a little bit more refreshing, I suppose, to be able to still talk about that.
You're in such a unique spot because you signed under a different coach, and you've played Trev into Scott. You signed your contract under Scott, then he leaves, and then John arrives. Like Mitch was in the same position where he signed under Trev initially and went all the way through.
Yeah.
So when a new coach arrives and you've just signed under a different one, did that change totally what your role was going to be and how it was going to pan out? Like, was suddenly you look around going, this isn't what I was expecting even from the get-go?
I don't think it did too much, especially early on. I don't think it changed anything at all, really. I played to John in my first year. It was one of his, I'm not sure what year it was for him in the Crocs, but so we're teammates back in when I first started, and you know, it's a long time ago. But I feel like my role didn't really change a great deal from that in that aspect. I'm the first one to admit I had a slow start to that year. That's I'm first one to put my hand up for that. And I guess that I feel like that happens in professional sport. You know, you gotta be up and down, and I guess towards the end of the season it did change, but you know, that's a decision that's made above my pay grade, and it's something that sometimes even professional sport, as I said, it's cutthroat and you've just got to live with.
I remember you told me once that you're a shooter, you need to shoot every day. You said to me, if you take a day off, you feel like you can lose your shot. So, which I found amazing from watching how good you are at what you do. So when you're not getting as many minutes, does that take away your ability to feel like you're going to make the shot once you do get onto court?
I guess in a game, it's a little different. Like, some guys just have this natural ability to walk off the bench and come in and just make shots. And I guess other times it takes, well, sometimes you can do that, and other times you come in and sometimes it's a little slower and you need a little bit of time to get in some rhythm, and it might be get to the free throw line. It might be just another way to sort of see the ball go through the rim. You kind of feel like it helps with some rhythm. It sort of helps you get locked into the game, little things like that. I guess with my role changing, I kind of just had to, I just embrace it for what it was and did the best job I possibly could.
Tell me about moving around. This is your last 10 years. Townsville, Mackay, New Zealand, Melbourne, Townsville, Sydney, Mackay again, Illawarra, New Zealand again, Perth, Rockhampton, Gold Coast and Illawarra. So that's obviously including going and playing places in the off-season. So that's 13 cities in 10 years. Like, how do you hold down a rental property, buy a house, feel settled? Well, it's not a normal lifestyle.
It's definitely not a normal lifestyle, and I'm just thankful for, I guess, because it's very difficult to be able to do that, all that stuff alone. And I'm just thankful for, I guess, for Jess and the way that she's, I guess, like leads from the front, like with that at home with that sort of stuff. And it's she just at the end of the day, she just gets it. You know, sometimes that's what you got to do as an athlete to be able to then your dream and do what you love as a job. It's like that. You know, you say 13 cities in 10 years. Like, I didn't realize it was like that. But yeah, it's, to be honest, I wouldn't change anything from that. Like, every day I get to wake up and play basketball for a living. It's something that, and to be able to do it for as long as I have, I'm extremely thankful and grateful that it's worked out like that. And you get to see with the Boomers trips, the living in New Zealand, the living all over the country, you get to see a lot of things that I'll remember for the rest of my life, and relationships you build with teammates, things you do, like Jess and I do, it's one of those things that Jess and I got pregnant in Perth. Her baby's going to be born in Illawarra. Like, it's one of those things that they're all memories, and it's all just a part of the journey.
You lived around the corner from me, which I used to walk across the road at the park.
Yeah.
How long was your lease at that time, and how difficult was it to get out of it?
It actually worked out well. Our lease was for another 6 months, I think. So it would have been a 12-month lease total. And we were able to, with our first, like, open home, we had... House was kind of half-packed, boxes everywhere. Our very first home, it was a private viewing of someone, and they took it. So I guess because there's quite a demand for rentals right now in Perth, I thought it was always going to be an easy thing to be able to break our lease, and I'm just thankful it was, because that's a whole different another stress that we didn't need.
And how about finding somewhere? You mentioned the dogs and all everything else in terms of moving interstate. How long did it take you to actually find somewhere to live once you got to Illawarra?
Well, it was, I guess the thing that was on my side was the fact that I was going to the Gold Coast for 3 months to play. Sort of, I wasn't going straight from Perth to Illawarra to where I had to have something within 2 weeks, whatever it was. So club was really good. Big Joe, he was, whenever he'd find something, he'd send it straight to me, send me some photos. I can look at it this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Do you want me to look at it? So it was really, communication was really good in that aspect, in the way of, do you want me to look at it? Yep, great. He said, and I've known Biggie for, he was our manager in my under 20 state team. So I was, at the time, I was bottom age, so I was 18. And so I've known him for a long time.
Okay.
So I guess what he was telling me, I've got trust in him. I know what he's like. I know him as a person. And yeah, we got a really good spot in our 3-bedroom townhouse, pretty much in the middle of Wollongong. So we wanted something quite central with the baby coming, just being able to walk with the baby and the dogs down to the waterfront. She can walk along, get a coffee, and just have that freedom, not have to be out in the sticks to where you have to put the dog in the car, put the baby in the car. You know, it's just easier like that.
Is a drive across the country fun?
First time it was, not the fourth time. Fourth time's a little, I've done it 3 times. When I re-signed with Perth the second time, I flew because I had to try and find somewhere for us to live, and Jess drove across with her dad. She's done it 4 times, I've done it 3 times. But even that doesn't make it any easier. The first time was, it was all new, and it was cool. But I guess we tried to take a little bit of a different route each time. So it wasn't the same thing. We tried to see different things. And if I didn't sign in Perth, I never would have done the trip. But I've done it now. It's a long drive. I think it's the last, on the way back to the Gold Coast, it was 6 days, 5 nights we did it. And probably could have done it a little quicker, but you know, when you've got 2 dogs and a pregnant wife, it's kind of something you just want to be able to take your time with and just be safe at the end of the day. And Gold Coast, leaving Perth, going to the Gold Coast, they were great in the way of sort of take your time. When you get here, you get here, and we'll have you on court whenever that is. So yeah, it's a long trip, but you see some pretty cool things in the middle of Australia. I guess sometimes people forget how big the country is when you're just driving and the road just goes for 200 kilometers and there's nothing but dirt and straight road. It's like you feel like you're a swimmer at some time, you're just watching the one line in the middle of the road. But yeah, no, it's a cool trip, and we try to take a different route each time and try to enjoy it for what it is.
So that's it for part one of the Dribble podcast for this week. Join me for part two with Scott Morrison, which will be uploaded in the next few hours. In the meantime, remember, you can read all of your basketball news in the West Australian and at thewest.com.au. That's it for part one of this week of the Dribble podcast.